This is Jennifer Hadley, and I'm grateful to be able to transcend time and space this way in order to be with you. The workshop you're about to listen to was recorded live on the phone with an audience. I encourage you to print out the transcript and have it in front of you. You can get the link to download the transcript on the CD cover. This way you can make your notes of personal ahas and insights, and you'll have them to go back to later. I invite you to pause the recording after the prayer at the beginning and take a moment to write down your intention for healing. You can intend to participate fully and listen wholeheartedly. Remember, you share the benefits of your healing and expansion with everyone because you're one with them. There's no extra charge to make the most of your investment. You're so worth it. Thank you. So welcome to my 7 simple steps for interrupting the patterns of fear. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I'm so very, very grateful that you're joining with me now. Whether it's live and in person or you're listening later, we're doing this work together. We're transcending time and space for the purpose of our healing. And truly, we're sharing the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. Oh, and I'm just so grateful for that. So let's begin with a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and take a breath of love and gratitude with me as we move into an awareness of our heart. Taking this breath of love and gratitude, so grateful and so thankful that we do not have to be a prisoner of fear. That there is one impetus, it is a divine impetus, and it is love, it is the Christ light that we already are. And as we take these breaths of love and gratitude with our hand on our heart, we're willing to experience love as our true nature. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember that our true identity is perfect love. It always has been and it always will be. We are willing right now to surrender all false beliefs, all patterns of fear and negativity. All healing is at the level of the mind, and we are willing right now to make a holy offering of everything that blocks the light of love in our awareness. We're sharing the benefits with everyone. We're giving the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wonder how to have a healing. We simply are willing to allow our healing. We're claiming it and sharing the benefits with everyone. In grace and in gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. Seven simple steps to interrupt the patterns of fear. And the reason why this class is entitled Interrupt the Patterns of Fear, because in my own personal experience, it is the willingness to consistently interrupt the patterns of fear rather than re-energize them and reinvest in them that has completely changed my life. Because I used to feel like a fear victim. So I used to feel absolutely terrified, paralyzed by fear. For literally decades, I felt that as I was studying the spiritual teachings, because I began in my mid-20s, and for the longest time,
I felt that, you know what? I understand all this spiritual stuff. Understanding it is not hard for me. I totally get it on an intellectual level. I get it. It makes perfect sense to me, and I believe it. However, there's something wrong because I'm not feeling better about myself in the way that I know I should be, since I seem to be doing everything right. I don't know what is missing here. What is not working for me? Why does it seem to work for other people but not work for me? Why are other people having amazing, miraculous healing and success but not me? What's wrong with me? I feel spiritually stupid. I feel like a spiritual failure. I don't get it. What am I doing wrong? I couldn't figure that out. I kept noticing that I was experiencing the same patterns again and again and again. And it was making me nutty because I just felt like a failure so much of the time. Anybody feel that way? So I really had this core belief that there was something unfixably wrong with me. Something that was so dark, so evil, so completely all pervasive that it could never be healed. I really believed that about myself. And that thought was operating in every area of my life. So every painful experience that I had in my relationships, whether it was with my family, my friends, my boyfriends, my romantic partner, all the different aspects of my life at work, everywhere I went, even in my spiritual community, I just felt it mirrored back to me all the time. Something hideously, unspeakably, unfixably wrong with me. And so whenever something didn't go the way I thought it should go, I would just go right to, you see, there's something terribly wrong with me. That I just can't get this stuff. I just can't make it work. I can't figure it out. And because I do not feel that way anymore, and despair, fear, worry, doubt, shame, blame, regret, resentment, all that stuff it's a memory now, but it's not something I cycle around in or have to deal with much every day. Do I still have things coming up for healing? Yes, every day things are still coming up for healing. However, it's my joy to do the healing. And I no longer feel like there's something terribly wrong with me and that I'm stupid and bad. And I'm so grateful that I don't feel that way anymore. Oh my goodness. I am so grateful for that. Yes, I am. And it is the complete shift in my life, which I thought was not possible for me. The fact that I have experienced miracle after miracle after miracle when it felt so impossible for me. This experience of my life, this shift that I see continuing to unfold, is so miraculous to me that I, of all people, could do this. Seriously. I have to share about it over and over and over again. And that's why the ministry that I founded, the Power of Love Ministry, a huge portion of what we offer is totally free, giving it away over and over and over again. And the only classes that we really charge for are the ones where we have a lot of expense for, like the Living A Course in Miracles classes. If you'd like to own them, we charge for them, and that pays for the class. Or if it's a class where you're really going to do the work and you're going to partner with me, then that's a paid class, like my year-long Masterful Living class, my Finding Freedom Boot Camp, or the CDs and things like that. But the vast majority of hundreds of hours of offerings are free on the web for anyone to download or listen to. Because to me, anyone's liberation is my liberation. And this insight and this clarity, which I thought I would never have, is so valuable to me. It has improved the quality of every minute of every day of my life. I have to share it and give it away for free, of course. So, the number one thing I would like you to take away from this before I give you my seven simple steps is listening to this class is not going to change your life. It cannot change your life. It will not change your life. But you can change your life if you apply the seven simple steps that I'm going to give you. It's your application of them, your repeated application of them, your willingness to do anything to interrupt these patterns of fear that will absolutely guaranteed bring you life-changing healing. I can't do it for you. No one can. My only role here is to inspire you by my own success, which is the teach only love, for that is what you are. So I have learned for a fact that I am not some sick, ugly demon seed person, but in fact, I am an expression of love, God's love. And that's the only thing that I'm interested in knowing and teaching. Because contained in that is all the wisdom of the universe. And so we join together where the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love for our freedom, for our liberation. Now, it's really important to understand this number one step in interrupting the patterns of fear. And that is this: fear has no power. Fear has no power. None. There's only one power in this universe, and that is the power of love. That is the power of God. God is the only power. Love is the only power. Fear has no power. Now, in this 3D world of our human experience, if I believe that fear has power, then it will seem to have power in this world. If I invest my attention, my awareness, which is my God power, in believing that fear has power, then it will seem to have power in my experience. So I have to invest my awareness in believing that fear is a power in order to experience it as a power. So it's just like, you know how, do you ever have that feeling, or I used to have it when I was a kid. I used to be terrified to be home alone at night, even as an adult, well into almost 30 years old. So I had this terror of being alone at night. And when I was a kid, I used to have these experiences where I was afraid that there was a monster in the bedroom, under the bed, in the closet, these kinds of things. And I literally would just be overcome and overwhelmed with fear, because I believed the monster was under the bed. I believed the monster was in the closet. And I did not have the courage to just get up and turn on the light and see there's nothing here. There's just my imagination. There's just my belief that there's a monster under the bed that is terrifying me. It's just the false belief that is frightening me to the point of really being paralyzed and unwilling to look under the bed. So even as adults, we do the same thing, exactly the same thing. We believe that fear has power and that we are its victim. And that's why we experience fear as having a power. So the number one way to interrupt that fear when it's coming on is to say to it, fear has no power. Fear has no power over me. That has no power. It could even be you have a cancer diagnosis. Well, that has no power over me. That prognosis and that diagnosis has no power over me. There's only one power in my life, that is the power of love. And that's where I'm keeping my attention, because I know that is the only power that there is. So that little tool, have that in your back pocket to just say, that has no power over me. Declare it, and it will be so. When I first learned to pray, my first real prayer was, because I was so terrified, I was going to vomit. I was desperate. I didn't know how to pray. I went to the foot of my bed. I knelt down on my bed and I put my head on the bed and I said, I will not live in fear. Whatever I need to do in order to make a move, bust a move from this fear, I'm willing to do, but I am not willing to live in fear. I'm done. Show me what to do, guide me, lead me, I will do it, but I will not live in fear. And within an hour, I had insight, what to do, inspiration, I moved forward and out of fear. And that one experience taught me I don't ever have to be fear's victim. I only have to be willing to interrupt that pattern. And so I have learned the value of interrupting the pattern thousands and thousands of times, to the point where the pattern has so little energy now. It doesn't grab my attention. I don't feel physically sick. My breathing doesn't change. My heart rate doesn't change. None of that stuff that used to happen to me happens anymore. I used to feel a lightning bolt of energy go through me when I felt afraid, but I don't have that anymore. Now, the illusion is that we're afraid of things happening in the world. We're afraid of things happening. We're afraid of things not happening. That's the illusion. However, consider this. Do we feel fear because we are addicted to choosing thoughts of separation? Are you addicted to choosing thoughts of separation, which are literally the cause of situations and circumstances? So there's the illusion that we're afraid because of situations and circumstances. But the fact is, we feel the energy of fear because we're addicted to choosing the thoughts of separation. And those thoughts of separation cause the situations and circumstances of our life. So, Course in Miracles tells us all thought produces form at some level. There are no idle thoughts. Now, we can say we know that intellectually, but until we live as though we know it and we interrupt the thoughts that are literally making our circumstances and situations, we don't actually know it until we start interrupting this pattern. So we're actually afraid because we're addicted to choosing the cause of our own suffering. We're addicted to choosing our own suffering. And then we blame it on the world. So if I think thoughts of regret and resentment and blame and shame, I'm going to start to feel afraid right away. If I blame my shame, regret, resentment, hurt, doubt, worry, anxiety on the world, on the circumstances, on what I can see with my eyes and touch with my body, hear with my ears, If I'm blaming my upset on the things of this world, I am forever eliminating the possibility that I'm ever going to change the patterns of fear that I've given my power to. So fear has no power because it's all like the monster under the bed. No matter how real it seems, it's still the monster under the bed. That can be really tough to get. So we don't have to figure out how to get it. We just say, fear has no power over me. And then we move to step two, which is be grateful. Because as soon as we move into gratitude, it lifts our vibration where we can hear more clearly, see more clearly, know more clearly, and feel more clearly divine guidance and inspiration. We can feel and know and sense and hear more clearly the truth that sets us free when we are grateful. Now, it might seem crazy to go into gratitude when you're feeling paralyzing fear. But if you can go right to fear has no power, that has no power, and I am so grateful and so thankful that God is the only power, that love is the only power. Then you're moved into gratitude, and now you're going to be able to more clearly feel, sense, hear, know divine guidance and inspiration from the higher Holy Spirit self. You're interrupting the patterns of fear two times already by simply, fear has no power, and I am so grateful and so thankful to affirm that now. You don't even have to believe it. Just affirm it. Because remember, it's about interrupting the pattern. So grateful. So grateful. Now, I just want to be really practical here because I've had so many experiences where I didn't know how to pay my bills. I've had experiences where someone I dearly loved died. I've had experiences where I got fired from a job that I had a lot of ego investment in. And before I learned these seven steps that I'm sharing with you here, before I found freedom in my mind, I would be terrified. I'd be angry. I'd be hurt. I'd be upset. I'd be worried. I'd be going right into the reactive state. So that's how I used to be. But once I learned to interrupt the patterns of worry, anxiety, fear, and doubt, then I could stop this addiction to fear and the thoughts that bring the experience, the physical gripping experience of fear. And then I began to see more clearly how I was the one who was causing the feelings of fear by my choosing to reinvest my attention, my belief, my awareness in the thought patterns and beliefs that were the causes of my experience of fear. I became very, very focused on this. Very, very focused. In fact, it was because I really moved into this place of, I'm not going to be a prisoner anymore. I've been a prisoner to fear my whole life. And I have completed this part of my training in my human experience. I am not going to study fear like this anymore. I'm not going to be the victim of fear anymore. I'm done. I really drew a line in the sand. You know, I drew a line in my mind and I just said, that's it. It was like somebody deciding, I'm not going to be a slave anymore. I'm not going to be abused anymore. It takes what it takes till you get to that point where you say, I am complete with this experience. I reached that point where I just couldn't do it anymore. There had to be a better way. And in that shift in my mind. What happened was I became really willing to put the divine guidance that I was getting into practice. To stop, I literally stopped reading spiritual books and doing things like that. And I had taken so many classes. I had done so many retreats. I had studied and studied and studied. I was such a good student. I could memorize things backwards and forwards. I was teaching classes and workshops in the law of cause and effect, but I wasn't living it. I didn't understand the difference between studying it and living it. And that's part of why I was so afraid. That's part of why I felt like such a failure. Because I knew in my heart I wasn't really living it. And in my spirit, I yearned to really live it, to really know God, to really be a loving presence. I had an awareness deep down that my life was for something more than just re-experiencing the patterns of fear over and over and over again. Deep down, I knew that there was something more for me to bring forth in this life. I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know how to do it. So I just surrendered. I surrendered and surrendered and surrendered. Honestly, as I'm thinking about it now and just remembering it, and as I've been contemplating this, you know, all week preparing for this class, I've had so many flashback memories of how desperate I used to feel, how alone I used to feel, and what a failure I used to feel like. And so it's really been a beautiful way for me to realize, oh my God, I invested so much of my energy, like almost all of my energy, managing and coping. And I had so much energy that I invested into believing that when I could change the way my life looked on the screen of my life, then I would feel better. And so I had it backwards. I was constantly trying to change things in the world of effects. It was really that I was trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, not knowing what to do about the fact that the ship was sinking. And so the only thing I could think to do was to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self. And that became my step three for interrupting the patterns of fear in my experience. So I learned to call the angels. The angels taught me to call them. And if you are a Course in Miracles student, lesson 183 tells you, call the name of God, and the angels will instantly surround you and begin to help you hear divine guidance more clearly. It's a beautiful lesson, lesson 183. For me, calling the name of God is when I say, Higher Holy Spirit Self, I am that I am. I am willing. So calling the angels, partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self, recognizing I am that I am, and I am one with the I am presence of all beings everywhere, that there is only one. It's that unification. It's the willingness to know the oneness is profoundly interrupting of the pattern of fear. So I've learned, Jennifer, don't go it alone. If you think you're on your own and you have to figure it out by yourself, then you're reinvesting your awareness, your belief, your attention in separation. you're going to feel more afraid. So the antidote to feeling fear is the same as the antidote to feeling separate. Because we feel separate because we're choosing to invest in thoughts of separation. So what's the antidote? Choosing thoughts of unification, oneness, love, compassion, understanding. That is the antidote. So fear has no power over me. I am grateful and thankful that I can recognize there is one power. It is the power of love. It is the power of God. And I am one with that power. So I'm partnering up. I'm calling the angels. I'm calling the company of heaven, Jesus, the ascended masters, and all that is holy to assist me, guide me, lead me. I am not going to invest in these patterns of fear anymore. I am choosing love. And that's step number 4. Choosing love, choosing healing, choosing the only power that there is, love, in order to have a healing. That new choice breaks the pattern. Because the reason why fear feels so intense that it grabs us by the throat and it shakes us. I don't know about you. Have you ever had the experience of being so afraid that you started vomiting? I have. I've had incredible fear where I literally just like, I used to keep a bottle of vodka in the freezer and I would just go open the freezer and take the bottle out and drink from the bottle. That's how afraid I used to feel. Interrupting the pattern takes the power out of the pattern. Reinvesting in the pattern strengthens the pattern. So we can build this muscle of connection with God. The reason why we feel alone and frightened is because we are actually choosing separation, and that is what is so deeply frightening. So we've gotten to the habit of choosing separation. For instance, even thinking that it's better to give than to receive, because the person who's giving is in the power seat. What about just being in the flow of oneness and sharing? Being in the flow of love and compassion and kindness and patience and generosity. So we've got the 4 steps so far. Fear has no power over me. I am grateful that there's only one power. And then calling upon that power, calling the I am that I am, calling the higher Holy Spirit self, partnering up, invoking the angels, calling the name of God, not trying to go it alone anymore. There is no benefit to doing it alone. It's not possible for us to be alone. For the students of A Course in Miracles, they know that Jesus tells us very clearly, you are never alone, but you can choose to feel alone if you'd like to have that experience. Well, you know what? I'm not interested in feeling like I have to do everything myself. So this is why I say, Holy Spirit, higher self, I am that I am. I'm giving you the heavy lifting. I don't have to figure out how to have a healing. My only role is to be willing, to allow. Don't have to figure out how, just allow. So we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to do the heavy lifting. Because the Holy Spirit can go into our mind, into our belief system, and with the most finely tuned laser beam, if you will, go in and just completely eliminate the causes of fear in our belief system if we're willing to hand them over. However, if we cling to them and we continuously reinvest in them, then we must like them. We must want to keep them because we keep reinvesting in them. Just like you open your closet, you're going to get rid of the things that don't fit you anymore, the things that don't work for you anymore. And just think of it. You might pull out that one item that you spent a lot of money on. You basically have only worn it once. If that, it's in perfect condition. It's one of the nicer things in your closet. But for whatever reason, you don't feel comfortable with it. And you just won't let go of it. So you're hanging on to it. And every time you open your closet, it mocks you and says, why the heck did you invest so much money in this? And you're never going to wear it. You don't like to wear it. You don't want to wear it. You don't have any place to wear it. And yet you're not giving it to someone else who could wear it. Why? It's you're keeping this painful memory in your closet and you see it there again and again and again. And even when you go in to clean out your closet, you still hold on to it. What's that about? And we do the same thing with our belief system. This belief causes me so much pain, but for whatever reason, I don't focus on healing it. I read books about healing it. I take classes about healing it. But I don't ever do the actual healing. That's exactly what I used to do. And I decided that that is insanity. That is the stupidest thing I could do. It's just plain stupid for me to pretend that I am not the one that is causing my own suffering. So I decided, okay, I don't know how to end the suffering, but sweet mother of God, I am choosing my healing. So bring on the healing, teach me what to do, and I will do it. And that's the thing that made the big, big difference in my life. That decision to choose my healing. And of course, I had to reinvest in my healing hundreds and hundreds of times a day because I realized that about every 6 seconds, I was choosing the past again. I was choosing to reinvest in my suffering. So I had to break that pattern hundreds of times a day. And I built the muscle and I had miraculous healing that I began to realize, oh my God, this stuff works when you really apply it. It's amazing. You really can find freedom right here in your very own life, Jennifer. Oh my God. And my healing began to come so quickly and so amazingly, so miraculously, I had to start telling everybody. And my teacher actually said to me, Jennifer, please teach a class about this. You have found a roadmap that very few people can see. In fact, she asked me, how did you find the roadmap? Very few people ever find the roadmap. How did you find it? And I said, well, how do you see what's right in front of your face? It was there right in front of my face. And I know now that the reason why it appeared in front of my face, in a sense, it became present in my awareness was because I made the decision, I'm going to get her done. I am doing this like Larry the Cable Guy. Let's get her done. I said, I am not leaving this planet until I am awake. I am attaining enlightenment. I'm doing whatever is possible for me to do in this lifetime in terms of my healing. Now, there are still many times when I say, you know what? Yes, I could choose to meditate, but right now I think I'm going to take a bath. Or I say, yes, right now I could choose to meditate, to pray, but right now I'm going to go out and get some ice cream. Yes, I make those choices every day. And when I make them, I'm making them from a place that is not driven by fear or unworthiness. I am simply saying, okay, in this moment, I'm doing this, and I'm still choosing my freedom. I'm still choosing my liberation. And there's no part of me that is going to berate myself, call myself names, or belittle myself, label myself. That's not going to be happening. So those are the patterns of fear, right? What's wrong with me? I'm so stupid. Why did I make that mistake again? When that conversation comes up in my life, not go in there. Talk to the hand. No, nobody's listening here. Nobody is interested in that ego conversation in my house, in my heart, in my mind. There is nobody who's going to entertain that conversation. I do not entertain it anymore. Whatever decisions I make, I made that decision. I'm claiming it for my highest and best. And sometimes I learn, oh, that wasn't the best decision in terms of my healing. So I'm learning from it. And now it immediately becomes part of my healing experience because I learned from it. But I can't learn anything from shaming myself anymore. So all day long, I have opportunities to choose healing by not allowing my mind to go to regret or shame or blame. So it's choosing the healing, choosing the love, choosing to tune into my God power. Because whatever it is that I invest my attention in, that's what I'm giving power. So I am interested in focusing entirely on letting love be the power of my experience. That new choice again and again and again breaks the pattern. People who take my Finding Freedom Bootcamp, people who take my year-long Masterful Living, this is one of the things that they learn, how quickly they can really get off the pain train and realize, oh my God, I thought I was powerless. I am not powerless. I thought I didn't have what it takes to do this. I do have what it takes to do this. It's not as hard as I thought it was. And it does require real attention and real effort. You know, there's no question about that. You can't be passive in your healing. There's no such thing. You're either avoiding your healing or you're investing in your healing. There's no middle ground. How could there be? Right? Okay, so step number 5, and this one is really important because many people run away from the feelings of upset. They just want to go right into self-medication. They want to go right into taking action and doing something and pulling their attention from what's really going on. But I've learned to feel the feelings is helpful to me because those feelings, those emotions, whatever's going on, they have clues for me. And I'm interested in getting a clue because I used to feel totally clueless. I used to feel like such a victim. So when you feel upset, you can say, oh, what's this upset for? What's this sadness for? What's this feeling of hurt for? What's this anger feeling for? What's this feeling of apathy for? What's this feeling of guilt for? What is it for? And that's a different question than, why is this happening to me again? That's the whine of the victim, right? Which I was so good at. Oh my God, I used to wake up in the morning, why is my life not working? Instead, now I've learned if I feel irritated, frustrated, if there's some kind of upset, it means that I believe something that's not true. And even, you know, if there's tremendous fear, because I learned to do this with tremendous fear and self-hatred, I learned to say, what is this feeling for? What is it about? Instead of, why is this happening to me? To say, I wonder why this is happening. I'd like to know the answer from the higher point of view. So feeling the feelings is really helpful. It's far more helpful than investing in denial, which is often in the form of self-medication. And denial and self-medication only increase the fear. There's the illusion that there's going to be a temporary respite from the fear. Oh, I'm going to take action. I'm going to manage and cope with this and try and figure it out in the world of effects, instead of just simply taking a little bit of time, energy, and attention to say, what's really going on here? What is this emotion that I'm experiencing trying to teach me and tell me or alert me to? So I've learned, just like with the monster under the bed, to turn and face it, to turn on the light of my attention to it in partnership with the angels, the Holy Spirit, the ascended masters, the company of heaven, my ancestors, and to say, okay, emotions are temporary, they don't last, but they are here to show me something. What are these emotions trying to show me? They're like shadow figures on the wall telling me something. They're never going to last. So let me just give them my attention for a moment. And if I'm doing that in a place of recognizing fear has no power over me, I'm grateful that I can choose my healing. I'm partnered up with the Holy Spirit and the angels are surrounding me because I know that I am that I am. And I've made the decision to choose love, which is the only power. I'm choosing my healing. Then feeling the feelings is that fifth step. Now I'm feeling those feelings from an expanded state. I am not going to be collapsed into them. They are not going to take me over. It's a whole different perspective. And from that place, you can learn so much about interrupting the patterns of fear. You've got your power back, because your power is what you choose to invest your attention in. So being able to say, these emotions are going to help me get clarity. I can learn from them when I hold the hand of the Holy Spirit and look at them from that place of union. It's amazing what can happen. Just listening to divine guidance here. I'm going to take a sip of my spiritual espresso. Emotions are temporary. They don't last. Just like a storm, no matter how hard that storm is, even if it's a hurricane, it's not going to last. It will end. It will spin out and be done. Okie doke. You know, I have to say I'm really grateful that I did start teaching my Finding Freedom Bootcamp class, in which I began to share all the things that I learned. And really, I feel like I learned them from my higher self, from the angels and the ascended masters. I really invested a lot of time and energy, many, many, many hours, sometimes 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day in my healing, because I just decided I wasn't going to suffer anymore. And I, like I said before, I was so amazed at how much miraculous healing happened. And all these very clear steps and tools came to me, and I began working them one by one and incorporating them into the way I lived my life. And that's how I learned that living the teaching and applying it is what does the healing. Studying doesn't do anything, because really and truly, the ego is an activity of the intellect. It's a thought pattern of separation that can only come alive in the mind, in the intellect, if you invest in it. Otherwise, it has no power. Because God is the only power that there is, and God is love, and God is light. And that's what we are. We are light beings. So when we shine the light of our awareness into the pattern of fear, it seems to animate it and make it real. So imagine this. Imagine that you have created this script for your life, and it's a very multi-layered script. And in the script, there are so many aspects. Everything is contingent. So if I make this choice, then this is going to happen. However, if I make that choice, this is going to be the result. If I choose love, I'm going to learn from the loving choice. If I choose fear, I'm going to learn from the fear choice. If I choose patience and kindness and trust and faith, I'm going to learn from that. If I choose worry and fear and doubt and shame and blame, I'm going to learn from that. So I can choose the path of learning that I'm interested in. And I can activate whatever aspects of my script that I'd like to activate through that choice of love, which is oneness, or separation, which is fear. Each and every moment, each and every moment, thousands of moments every day, I'm choosing what part of the script to activate. Am I moving into the present moment now by eliminating the patterns that are my belief in making the past real, making separation real, and reliving it over and over again? Or am I moving into the present moment now by choosing love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, generosity, patience, willingness? I get to choose. I really am in charge. So it's whatever thought patterns I'd like to invest in. A Course in Miracles tells us that these ego thought patterns aren't real. Only love is real. Only God is real. And that is what we are. So when we invest the light of our awareness in these patterns that aren't real, we're going to see them on the screen of our life. And then they're going to be the meaning that we make of our experience. So A Course in Miracles tells us that all we see is a meaningless world. It's not that the world we see, it's not that the world is meaningless. It's that all we're seeing in the world is the projection of our beliefs until we let those beliefs be healed by interrupting these patterns of belief, the false beliefs. And then we can begin to see the new heaven and the new earth. If we're not at peace, it's because we're not choosing love. So how you know whether or not you're choosing love and interrupting the patterns of fear is by whether or not you're experiencing peace, harmony, wholeness, freedom, prosperity, joy, love, creativity, wisdom, the spiritual qualities of life that are your true identity can only be experienced if that's what you're choosing. But if you're choosing to reinvest your awareness in the patterns of fear, then you're going to be distracted by those patterns showing up on the screen of your life. You're going to make the meaning of the world of effects based on what you're projecting. So it's like this. It's like you're watching a movie that you wrote, that you directed, that you're starring in, that you picked all the cast members, the locations, everything. So if you don't like the movie that you're watching on the screen of your life, give it all to the Holy Spirit. And that's step number 6. Surrender the attachment to the meaning that you have made of everything. Everything. Because all the attachments that we have are to the meaning that we've made of everything. That's the only thing that there is to have an attachment to, really, is the meaning that we've made of things, our interpretation. So, in A Course in Miracles, it says, the only problem we have is one of identification. We forgot who we are. We're the Son of God. Mother, Father, God, Infinite Spirit has one child. It's the Christ, and we're it. And we've forgotten who we are. And Jesus in his human life, Jesus in A Course in Miracles, is telling us to remember who we really are. And so we don't have to fix ourselves because we're not actually broken. So the whole self-improvement, self-help thing, out the window. It's just an investment in so many ways in thinking, you know what, there's something that needs to be fixed. There's nothing that needs to be fixed except this belief that there's something that needs to be fixed, right? So how do we do it? We don't have to figure out how. We only have to be willing to allow our little willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting is all that's required. I proved it. I know it to be true. And I have helped hundreds and hundreds of people to do this in to such a degree that they have personally told me they are living a life that they never thought was possible for them. Just like I'm living a life that I never thought was possible for me. Because I had this deep burning desire to be truly helpful. To really live a life of profound service. And I knew mentally and intellectually that the greatest gift that I could offer to the world was my own awakening, my own healing. But I thought that can never happen because there's just something wrong with me. I don't get it. And how did I interrupt that pattern? By saying, I'm not going to believe that anymore. I refuse to invest in it anymore. So I'm giving my attachment, my mental attachment to that belief that there is something unfixably wrong with me to the Holy Spirit for healing. I'm surrendering. I used to feel like, oh my God, do I have to surrender again? And I've had so many of my counseling clients and students say to me, oh, I had to surrender again. Well, you know what? It's never not about surrender. Anything that you're holding on to that prevents you from knowing the truth, why would you not want to surrender it unless you would like to keep suffering? So we're surrendering all attachments, all cravings, all needing, all wanting, all aversions, all the things that we hate, we don't like, we can't stand. We're surrendering everything, including our whole life and the meaning that we've made, all interpretations. We're willing to forgive everything in all directions of time and space. All the attachments are like tethers that hold us to the density of time and space. And every attachment that we have creates our personal form of hell, some kind of suffering, some way. It's a tether to the world of suffering. So why not surrender it all? Why only selectively surrender? That's insane. Surrender it all. That was the 6th step that I learned that began to interrupt the patterns of fear at a very rapid rate. Whatever the meaning is that I made of that, that's causing my suffering, whatever the meaning is that's got me feeling upset right now, whatever the cause of this irritation, this fear, this doubt, this worry, this shame, this blame, this guilt, whatever it is, I'm not interested in experiencing it anymore. I am surrendering it. Root cause, record, effect, and memory. Give it all to the higher Holy Spirit self, to the I am that I am. I'm putting the I am in charge of my healing, and I'm allowing my healing in all directions of time and space. Every meaning, every interpretation that I ever made of anything, I don't need it anymore. And this is where so many people get stuck. They can go all the way down here and then they say, no, I really like the meaning I made of it. Gosh, that's all I've got in this world is the meaning that I make of things. You know, I've worked really hard to make this meaning, this interpretation of things. My understanding of the world and why things are the way they are, all this meaning that I've given to everything, it's so carefully constructed by me. Gosh, I've spent thousands and thousands of years investing in this and carefully constructing it. I can't just give it up. Who will I be without my opinions and judgments? Who will I be if I don't drag the past with me and look at it again and again and again and validate my suffering for thousands of years? It would seem like there's no benefit to all that suffering. I can't allow that. I can't give that up to the Holy Spirit. That's the height of insanity. Well, what I realized is, no, it's not the height of insanity. It is my freedom. So I literally became willing to give all the meaning of everything that I had made up to the Holy Spirit and just be like, hey, I don't know what anything is for. I do not know what anything is for, but I am interested in knowing the truth. I'm interested in seeing beyond time and space and the meaning that I made of it, my interpretation. I'm definitely interested in that. Yes. Thank you, God. Yes, please. I'd like to know what that is. Boy, that was a big pattern interrupter right there. Oh boy, I'm just, you know, it brings back so many memories. So many memories, and I am so grateful for this work that I did. For me, you know, I did it on my own. A lot of it I really did on my own. I literally felt like someone who was walking down a dark, dank pathway. And there was no light, no light, and no one's hand to hold. But then I started to realize I am not alone. There's a lot of light beings walking with me, even though I don't see them in physical form. I'm not seeing them in physical form, but I can feel them in the invisible. And I decided to place my trust and faith in the invisible. And I decided to stop working my will to the best of my ability. And that's when the fear really began to dissolve. Yeah, you know, Course in Miracles says all healing is release from fear. All healing is release from fear. And the end of fear is possible for all of us. It is happening. We are the ones who are bringing it forth. So it's critical for us to recognize that thinking about the truth and living it, applying it, demonstrating it, teach only love because that is what you are. Really being in that space is so different than just thinking about it, studying about it, reading about it, or listening to someone else talk about it. Very different. And the error I used to make was I was studying spiritual teachings for a very long time while I was just investing a little bit of my heart into it. Just a little bit. Just enough that I was seeing a little bit of difference there. But it wasn't like heaven opened up for a long time, probably for about 20 years. And what it took was, it took my praying and praying and praying and my life feeling like it was breaking apart. And I had to literally decide to either cling to the meaning that I'd made of everything or be willing to release it. And in that moment of being, you know, in between, it felt like I was in a washing machine and I was being just in that wash, vigorous wash cycle, scrub, 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 as my friendships blew apart and my mother got a terminal cancer diagnosis and my sweetheart, oh, I don't even want to talk about that. And then, all kinds of stuff, what seemed like really like crazy betrayals in my spiritual community. And over again, it seemed, and of course I would felt like I couldn't, you know, I had a lot of fear around money, being able to pay my bills. Will I ever be successful as a minister? I felt like a fake and a fraud as a minister. And how am I ever going to do this? I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how. Because I was trying to work my will. I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure out how. And I wasn't yet willing to allow. And so it was excruciating for me. I literally was between a rock and a hard place. It was awful. I couldn't catch my breath. I was really in pain. And that pain, that excruciating mental, emotional pain, is what brought me to the point where I said, enough. Now I mean it. I am choosing my healing. All healing is release from fear. So every time I felt afraid, it was an opportunity for me to choose my healing. Most people are terrified of giving up the meaning they've made of everything, just like I was. And you know what? If we look at the world right now, more people cling to the painful experience, to trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the deck of the Titanic, clinging to the painful experience while the ship is going down, rather than aligning with love. And that's the greatest pain for light workers, is knowing that they are actively choosing and refusing to live their holy purpose. That's the greatest pain for any light worker, is when they know they have a holy purpose to be the light in this world and they are not willing to choose it. I know, because that's how I felt. And that tide is definitely turning. So again, I got to that place, thank God, where I was willing to do whatever it took to move from being like a slave in a cage. I was definitely the ego slave. I was so entrenched in the belief that I need this and this and this and this in order to be happy. I've got to have the perfect body. I've got to have the perfect mate. I can't have the perfect mate until I have the perfect body. I've got to have the right job and the right amount of money and the right home and this and this and this. All these things in the world had to line up in order for me to be successful. And I couldn't have the right relationship until I had the right job. I couldn't have the right job until I had the right body. And I couldn't have, you know, everything was contingent on everything else. I felt like a slave in a cage. Now, one of the things about me particularly is when I was a little girl, I was obsessed with Harriet Tubman. I was obsessed with her. I read books about her. She was my hero. I would read about her and I just couldn't believe how amazing she was. And then when I became older, in my 20s, I learned about Gandhi. And I read about Gandhi. I read his autobiography. And I learned that Gandhi was profoundly moved and inspired by the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I learned that Dr. King was profoundly inspired by, of course, Jesus and Gandhi. So I began to look at these people. And what do Harriet Tubman, Jesus, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King have in common? They're all liberators. They're all helping people to liberate from a slave mentality. And they're all my heroes. And I realized, because that for me is what I am interested in, liberating myself from a slave mentality. And then, like Harriet Tubman, who people who are listening to this in Europe and other parts of the world, you might not know who she was, so you could Google her. But in the times of American slavery, she was a woman who was a slave, and she, through the Underground Railroad, she brought hundreds of people to freedom, hundreds of slaves, leading them through the woods in the dark of night with dogs chasing them to freedom. And she went back into the South over and over again at great peril to her own life in order to bring out more and more people from slavery, including her husband who beat her and scarred her. She even went back for him because she knew that he had this slave mentality and she could forgive him. So she's my superhero. And so I decided to become the liberator of my own life by partnering up with the Holy Spirit. I've learned the power of love to heal. I have learned that there is no other healer. Love is the healer, because love is the only power, because love is what God is. Love is what we are. I'm choosing liberation. I won't allow myself to suffer anymore. I love myself enough that I do not allow myself to suffer anymore. I don't shame myself anymore. I don't hate on myself anymore. I became willing to do whatever it took, one moment at a time, and that's how I began finding freedom. So I'm getting ready to I'm going to summarize here the seven steps again. I'd like to remind you that we will be posting the transcript. So please get the transcript as well. I invite you to listen and re-listen to this class, because the more you listen, the more you'll hear things you couldn't hear before. All the steps are laid out in the transcript. What I invite you to do is to listen to the class with the transcript, make your notes in the transcript as you go along. Now, I have my Finding Freedom Spiritual Bootcamp class. And it has 50 videos. Most of them, I made them, going through the exact steps and things that I've done that have worked for me, that were so helpful to me. I have the 7 classes for the 7 weeks of my Finding Freedom Bootcamp. If you're in the boot camp, you can download them all and put them on your phone, your iPad, take them with you and listen to them again and again. You'll get all the transcripts for those classes. There are guided meditations for you in my Finding Freedom boot camp. There is a 400-page workbook, which we ship to you. There is a weekly call for the 90 days of the boot camp. There's a weekly call almost every week. There's four calls a month where you can ask me any question you like live, week after week. If you're not there live, you can get the download. You can also submit a question in writing in case you're not there. So these are all parts of my Finding Freedom boot camp. We have payment plans. If you're interested in doing this same work that I'm talking about here that completely changed my life and liberated me from a life of suffering and repeating the past, we have payment plans. We have so many payment plan options. If we don't have one that you like, suggest one. We'll work with you. No one left behind. So we move as a group. You can come in. You can work the boot camp in a very aggressive way, or you can work it at your own pace. Some people come in, they listen to everything, they watch all the videos, they don't do anything in the workbook, and then they go back and they start again, and they do a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. Go at your own pace, go to boot camp pace. You can do it however you like. And over and over and over again, people are having the same experience that I've had because they're interrupting these patterns of fear. And they're building in momentum, in inspiration, and they experience miraculous healing. And it proves to them that it is possible for them, that they are not just some crazy, defective, poison seed, like I used to think, right? So we prove it by doing this work. If you'd like to read testimonials of some of the people who've done this work, you can read it on the Finding Freedom page at jenniferhadley.com. And I encourage you to really read the whole page there, because I took time and energy and effort to really carefully write out the details of the class so that if it's right for you, when you read that, you'll know. It's not for everybody. Not everybody's willing to do the work. Not everybody is interested. But if it's right for you, you will know. And in this class, you get to discover all the things that I did, and I am there to support you in doing them to the best of your ability. We all fall down, and we get back up through the power of love. So what I know is doing this work of interrupting these patterns of fear. Remember, you don't need my help. Everybody's got A Course in Miracles. Everybody's got the same connection with God, the angels, the ascended masters. I'm giving all these seven steps to you for free. Of course, there's a lot more in Finding Freedom. However, just working these seven steps, they changed my life. They opened me up to the guidance and the inspiration that I share in all my classes. So you can follow the steps with me in the boot camp. You don't have to figure it out. Just follow the steps I lay out for you and do them at the pace that you feel comfortable doing them with the support of the group. Okay, you don't have to figure out. I've already done that. Of course, you have A Course in Miracles workbook. It's all the same. It's all the same. Encoded into everything I do is A Course in Miracles. I love A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles, it's my guide. And I like to bring people together in a group. I like to do things in a group. I like the group energy because I felt so alone for so long. I'm not interested in that anymore. I like doing things together as a group. I like being the two or more who are gathered in the group. In fact, if you come into my Finding Freedom class and you'd like to have a prayer partner, I can help you have a prayer partner. And then you can have even more support in doing the Finding Freedom curriculum. All right, so I'm going to go back over these 7 simple steps for you. They work when you work them. And the big question is will you practice them? So you can write them down on a 3x5 card while you're learning to memorize them. That will be really helpful to you. Because it's about having a spiritual practice that works. In fact, that's one of the things that many people tell me about Finding Freedom is by the time they finish the curriculum, they have a spiritual practice that works for them. And so they have a whole different attitude towards themselves and their life because they don't feel like a loser anymore because now they've really got that consistency. So this is why you have 90 days to work the whole Finding Freedom curriculum. And if you want to extend access to it, it's only $22 a month, and that includes my weekly spiritual counseling call. So I do everything I can to make it really easy, really affordable for those who would like to do the work. However, like I said, I can't do the work for you. And you know what? Look, this is the thing I've learned. I'm always going to be investing my time, my attention, my money, and my energy in whatever I think brings me the results that I think I'd like. So for a long time, I wanted to change things in the world. And so I was laboring in the world of form. And it was exhausting. I call it pushing density now. To remind myself, oh girl, you're working in density now. You're pushing density. Give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to make anything happen. Let's just allow the highest and best to unfold. And so now I can do that without fear or worry and with confidence. And because I have faith, because I don't have doubt, things work out. Spirit rhyming. I love it. No, really, because truly we can have whatever we'd like to have unless we have a belief that we can't have it, or it's hard to get it, or we're not worthy of it. So that's what we focus a lot on, is eliminating these beliefs that get in our way. So let's, I didn't give you the seventh step, which is to share the benefits with everyone, because remembering the oneness is the ultimate healing. So we're practicing trust in order to prove our faith, to build our faith. When we believe that everything works together for our good, then that's all we can experience. That's all we see. And that is a beautiful place to be. Fear has no power unless I reinvest in it again. There's no monster under the bed. Turn on the light. Fear has no power. That's the first thing we do to interrupt the pattern of fear. Next, be grateful. When you're grateful, it lifts your vibration so you can hear and know and feel and see more clearly divine guidance and inspiration. You can see and feel and hear more clearly that your false beliefs are not true. Number 3, call the angels. In the name of God, beloved, I am that I am, higher Holy Spirit self. I'm choosing to partner up. I'm not going to go alone anymore because I'm not separate. I'm never alone. I am one with the one. Number 4, I'm choosing healing. I'm choosing love. I'm choosing the only power that there is. My new choice. My choosing love breaks the pattern. I choose love, and love chooses me. Number 5, when the feelings are upsetting, feel the feelings, ask what's it for. But you've got to partner up first. So partner up, step number 3, choose your healing. Number 5, feel the feelings, ask what's it for. Don't deny, don't medicate. That only increases the fear. Face it with the higher Holy Spirit self. Emotions are temporary. They do not last. Feel your feelings. Ask, what's the pain for? Number 6, surrender all attachments. All attachments cause suffering. All attachments are opinions and judgments. All attachments are the meaning that I made of it. True forgiveness is releasing the meaning I made of it. Let go the meaning you made of it because it tethers you to the world of density. If you'd like to be able to see beyond time and space and actually know what things are for, you have to let go of the meaning that you made of things in order to see what they're really for. Surrender the attachment. Number 7, share the benefits with everyone because you're one with them. Oneness is the ultimate healing. Practice trusting in order to prove God and have a real faith, the faith that moves a mountain. All right, so those are my 7 steps. And if you would like to practice them in a group setting and get a lot more tools and tips that really work, the inspiration to move forward and to really find freedom in your heart and mind, I've got all these different aspects as part of my Finding Freedom Bootcamp, all these different tools for you. It's proven. It works. I have a money-back guarantee. I'll take any payment plan. And what I can just tell you is I love doing my Finding Freedom Bootcamp. I do it over and over and over again. I love it. It's my liberation. And I'm so happy to do it with anyone who wants to go with me. So thank you for joining me in my 7 simple steps here to interrupt the patterns of fear. I'm going to say a prayer here to seal the deal. Oh, so let's take this breath of love and gratitude together and be so grateful and so thankful that love is all that we are. Love is all that there is. So grateful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and to choose love, to choose our healing, to choose and recognize the only power that there is the power of love, and it is our very nature, it is our life. So we're gratefully and thankfully surrendering all belief in lack, in limitation, surrendering all belief in the meaning that we have made of things, letting go of all the tethers to density. We're rising in love, rising in God, rising in the Christ light, which is what we truly are. So grateful and so thankful to share our healing, our liberation, and all the benefits of our life of love with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful that we don't have to figure out how to have a healing. So grateful to simply allow our healing. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 I love you. Thank you for joining me. And if you found these 7 simple steps helpful, won't you listen to this workshop with somebody else and do it together, discuss it, talk amongst yourselves, hold that commitment together to practice these 7 simple steps, check in with each other, how are you doing, encourage each other, be the 2 or more who are gathered, practicing these 7 simple steps because I know what a difference they can make in your life. I know that liberation is at hand and I hold for you that it's happening now. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you again for investing your precious heart in your healing. It lifts us all. If you'd like more support, please go to jenniferhadley.com. I offer the free gift of daily prayer and inspiration by means of my blog, which I call Spiritual Espresso. Sign up today and you'll join with people from all over the world who are in a powerful prayer circle together. Spiritual Espresso is a great support to keep your mind open and focused on love. Every day, in every way. Thank you for being my prayer partner. I love you, and I thank God for you. Yes, I do.